on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 13th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. It was one of those days where everybody is setting up stuff from the future, so I'm excited to talk to you about it because your forecasts are a lot more finger on the pulse than mine.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It was day 46 in the house, and we've got things kind of locking in, and yes, people prepping for what they want to do here in the future of the game. So let's get right into it. Of course, Gino is the HOH. He nominated Summer and Moose as pawns for a Marty backdoor. But then Helena won the veto, did not intend to use it. And that kind of changed their minds on the whole plan. At which point, Jace found a secret veto and also did not use it. And so both Summer and Moose remain on the block, and they are going to be campaigning throughout the day. There's going to be a little bit of consideration. Should we go in the other direction? But for the most part here, it's going to be pretty locked in on Moose, that Moose will be leaving tomorrow night on the eviction. But let's talk through what we see here in the day. We started with Kevin, Helena, and Josh, crash test dummies, kind of checking in. Josh lets them know about the rift between Summer and Betty ever since Summer was wavering on the vote last week to save Betty. Kevin says, well, should we send her home? And they're like, ah, ha, ha. He's like, it might be fun, you know, flip a vote.
A great strategic reason to do anything, in my opinion. That sounded sarcastic, but honestly, sometimes doing stuff because it's fun is why we like reality television.
Exactly. And Kevin likes chaos. Josh says that the thing that makes me nervous about Moose is that he keeps trying to make a final four with Jason Gino. That is concerning, right? And so the previous night, Josh had talked with Moose, and Moose did pitch this final four idea with Jason Gino and Josh and Betty as well, sort of attached to it. And this is something that he did last week as well. When Herman was in the house, he pitched a final five with Herman and Jason Gino. And Josh said, I don't know why this guy really wants to work with Jason Gino, but I don't like it. And Kevin's like, yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but also if you have to continually pitch a final four because people aren't biting, perhaps you're not the most threatening character in the house.
Yeah, and maybe it's not the right final four, you know, like maybe you shouldn't be pitching that you want to work with Jason Gino. They don't have control in the votes this week. Moose, come on.
Yeah, it's okay. I feel like Moose and Summer are sort of a race to the bottom in terms of their campaigns, especially in the last 24 hours. So, but sometimes that's what you want to do. I mean, people are looking at Summer and be like, wow, her campaign is so bad. Maybe we should keep her. Mm. You know, dead fish is a valid strategy.
I think they're overstating how bad Summer's campaign is here. I think it's not that bad. In fact, I mean, I don't know if she knows how good it is, but pitching that, she will be pitching that she's going against the showmans, which is what people want to hear, as opposed to Moose, who is like, nah, I want to work with the showmans. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where even Summer admits that her campaign wasn't very good, but it's one of those things where somebody says ugh, Summer's campaign is really bad. And then that just becomes the word of the house.
And genuinely, I will talk about this, but I think that was part of Kevin's strategy because he is the main driver of this narrative that Moose made a really good pitch and Summer made a really bad one.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that a race to the bottom is sometimes what you want. You want to be the person who's clearly playing the game worse when you're on the block.
Yes. Well, They agree, like, let's just continue to drive a wedge between Summer and Betty if we can, if they're, you know, going to be at each other a little bit. Kevin also says, he says, oh man, that would just be the most manipulative thing ever to get Marty to target Gino. I really hope we can do it. It would be so fun. It would be so good. I can't wait to try.
Me too, Kevin, from your lips to God's ears.
And no, I would never do that.
You friggin' hurt me.
Couldn't do it again. Yeah, they talk about how much of a threat Gino is. Helena's like, the guy backdoored is number one in the game. And she's like, I don't know exactly how Helena got targeted by Marty, but like, I'm pretty sure Gino had something to do with it. Like, this guy just turns on anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I think Gino is somebody who, doesn't necessarily have like the most independent thinking skills. Is perhaps the bottom of this, but that doesn't necessarily make it. Well, it could make him a lot more threatening depending on who's the last person in his ear, but
yeah,
I don't think he's a strategic mastermind.
Not exactly. I wouldn't say that. He is dangerous in the game, though. Josh is going to talk with Marty. They've been talking a few times throughout the week. Especially now that Josh knows that Marty will be staying this week, he is going to continue to try to rebuild this relationship. That's something that he mentioned to Helena and Kevin that he wanted to do. And so, they're going to continue to talk about exactly that. Marty does feel like there's something there that can be repaired. He is going to continue to talk about Josh, like, respecting his elders and, you know, all of this, you know, stuff, and how that's a bond that they can use. And he's not sure, though, that he can repair things with Betty. He thinks that Betty is just, too far against him. He'll never be able to recover that relationship. Because as we all know, Betty is the one that really, orchestrated the, flip vote on Gino, which, if you're not catching the sarcasm, is not true. Marty still believes it is.
Marty is just like, because he doesn't have these kind of like deep, genuine relationships with a lot of people, he's just kind of making up reasons that he has special bonds with people. He's like, oh, with this person, it's because of the French thing. And with this person, it's because he respects his elders. It's like, maybe just try like talking to people and getting them to like you.
Yeah, he's like a viewer watching Big Brother that doesn't connect to anybody on the cast and is just like, well, I guess this person is
that person's queer and I'm also queer. We have nothing yeah. else in common, but I'm rooting for her because of that.
Yeah, like me watching Survivor Gabon and being like, I guess Bob is from Maine. When has that mattered?
Wow, you didn't connect with Crystal or Sugar? That's so weird to me.
You know what? I did like Kenny with the what was it? What did he play?
Super Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Bros, yeah. That was good.
This is the Survivor Gabon podcast now. That's how you know a lot happened in the house. When we're talking about ancient seasons of Survivor.
Well, Marty is going to talk more about how he is not going to be putting Gino on the block because he couldn't do that a third time. And even though he knows that Gino would put him on the block, and it really sucks that that's the case, the more he talks about it, the more I'm starting to get convinced that, like, I actually feel like maybe they can manage this. Because I feel like I feel like Marty is doing that thing. Like, Marty is like posting a Facebook status right now.
He's old, so that's on brand.
He's posting a Facebook status that says, when you're really loyal to your best friend, but they're not loyal to you, ... And he's posting it like over and over, and he's really hoping that Gino will see it and come to his senses.
Yeah, I like how because Marty is old, this is not subtweets. This is sub Facebook statuses.
Yeah,
we can't even see Marty subtweeting somebody.
And that's the problem. Gino's not on Facebook, but Marty doesn't realize.
Yeah, or he's like, somebody will like tell him and then he'll check it and be like, what's wrong? Like, this guy I like, I just want him to like text me and see what's wrong. But it's like, he doesn't care, boo.
That's exactly it.
He's with somebody else.
He's going around saying to so many different people, people that he doesn't really talk to or bond with or connect to, is just like, I would never put Gino up, but I think he would put me up. That really sucks that would be the case, but it's silly for him to do that because I would never put him up. If you want to pass that message along or anything, I'm just saying it out loud a bunch of times.
Yeah, like my status for Truth Is. Remember that?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Real elderly millennials like myself will engage.
Something that he doesn't want to get out, though. He does have a secret for, because again, notice that he says I'm never going to put Gino up. But then he goes, here's who I would put up, Josh. Don't tell this to anybody. But he didn't say that about the Gino thing. Don't tell this to anybody. I'm going to put up Betty and Summer. And then, look, replacement nominee. Who knows? Maybe Jace. But that would be very. Gino would not like that, so I probably wouldn't do that. But maybe Jace. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you, Josh. I don't know. But I don't think I would do you.
Truly could be anybody. Hey, Josh, don't tell Josh, but I might. I'm thinking about nominating Josh.
don't tell anyone, Josh. Don't tell anyone.
What? I obviously had to tell my boy, Kevin.
So Josh goes to Kevin and he says, hey, Kevin, Marty just told me he's putting Summer and Betty up if he wins.
Great. Voice of the people.
So I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
Sorry, I talked over your sound clip.
It's okay. He's spilling the tea to Kevin.
Oh, great.
Mm.
People use that term. It sounds so wrong when certain people say it.
So I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
There we go. All right. So Moose is going to make a pitch to Kevin. And he tells Kevin that he is willing to put Gino and Jace up as the people that nominated him if he stays on if he stays in the game. Now, this is a good pitch to Kevin. Kevin wants to hear that he's willing to go against the showmans.
Also, just note that every person we're going to talk about today is basically spilling the tea to Kevin.
Yes, this Josh is everybody in this moment.
So I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
Yeah, that's every person in the house.
This is a good pitch, and it's what Kevin would want to hear. The problem is that Moose has already made the pitch to Josh that they should align with the showmance, and Josh has already.
So I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
So Kevin already knows that Moose has made a pitch to align with the showman. So when Moose pitches to Kevin that he's going after the showmans, Kevin is like...
You really suck at lying.
Except the opposite, because I have him. He's really good at lying.
Right.
Kevin does also mention, I'm concerned that, like, you know, Herman was really coming for me for a little while, and you were really close with Herman, like, it's a little bit concerning. Moose is like, oh no, he never talked to me about that. But the point here is that Moose makes this pitch. After the pitch, Kevin goes straight to Helena. He goes, man, Moose is really good. He's really good at this. And again, I think this is in part just Kevin, like, right? Like he constantly talks about, like, never underestimate anybody in this game. He's, I think, constantly sort of like appreciating when other people are playing and actively lying. Like we heard in the episode last night, two nights ago, he's like, man, Gino's a great liar. Like, is he? But he's always like going to overestimate people before he underestimates them. So I think that's part of it. But I think the other part of it too is that he definitely wants Moose to go, hearing about the fact that Moose wants to work with the showmans, and then the fact that Moose is lying to him about it. He's like, okay, Moose has to go. So he's going to start to paint this narrative that Moose is very good at campaigning. He's very charming, and he really thinks that he's, like, very convincing, very good liar. But He doesn't think he can believe him. He's too good. He's too good. And the flip side of this is that when Summer campaigns to him, he's going to go around and be like, man, Summer was really bad at campaigning. But in some ways, that makes me actually want to keep her because Moose is just really good at it.
Yeah, I think also for Kevin, like, it behooves him, even if he doesn't necessarily believe that people are like more skilled than they are. It behooves him as somebody who's in a good position of the game to like paint his competition as good, A, because there's the obvious reason of like, oh, anybody could beat me at the end. Like, you're all really good. But also just from like the perspective of the house, like it's obviously a lot more impressive to maneuver around talented people than idiots. So if he is able to get to the end and be like, wow, I overcame like all of these amazing liars and game players, rather than going around being like, everybody I evicted so far is an idiot, like this is a cakewalk, you know, which, you know, you can do, but it's not like we look back on like Redemption Island and are like, wow, Rob really overcame some amazing competitors, you know. It's better for your legacy and for your perception in the house if you paint everybody as like a very skilled player.
Yeah, and this is a strategy he's employed before as well. I remember him talking to Jess about Tanisha, saying like, she'll come in here and she'll make you feel like you're her best friend. Like, he tries to also like inoculate people to the pitches before they happen. He's going to do this to Betty later in the day, saying like, have you talked to Moose yet? She's like, no. He's like, man, when you do, oh, he's so good. He's going to make you feel amazing. He's going to promise you everything. I came away from the conversation like, Moose has to stay. And then I came to my senses like 20 minutes later, but like, man, he's good. Get ready.
Yeah. And that like inoculation strategy is the best thing you can do if you can do it accurately. If you can go to somebody and say, when Moose talks to you, this is what he's going to say. And then somebody is like geared to, even if it's true, they're geared to resist it because they're like, oh, so predictable. I already knew that you were going to say that. So you're almost like not listening as much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Summer is going to make her pitch to Kevin. Her pitch is that she's like, look, if Marty doesn't want to take the shot at, if Marty's not willing to take care of Gino, I will force him to. I will nominate both of them, Gino and Marty. But Kevin, you're the only one I'm telling that this is exactly what I'm doing. So don't tell anyone.
So I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
He says, okay, all right, sounds good. He's going to talk to her later in the day and let her know, I'm definitely keeping you. I'm not wavering on this. Like, don't worry about it. He talks to her about Moose's pitch and how good it was, and says, like, I was concerned for you, but don't worry, I think you're good. For the most part, this has been pretty locked in at this point in the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't look for a major flip, although they are all still like counting votes. Like, it's not as unanimous as it could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're
talking about like scenarios in which it could be 3-3. It's not going to happen, but like, I feel like people are at least not like, oh, Moose has to go and Summer has to stay.
Moose feels confident that he can, that he feels like he can maybe get to a tie. And that's part of the thing, is that he, even when pitching to Kevin, like, he's still pitching like, hey, and then I'm going to talk to the showmans and get them to break the tie to keep me. Right. And it's like, the people you're targeting. But for the most part here, you know, given the fact that I think there's reason to believe that Kevin probably could decide the outcome of this vote if he wanted to, and Kevin seems locked in on Summer staying at this point, I think we are going to find that it is unlikely to change from here. Kevin is going to have a little moment in the pantry. He's talking about Jillian, his partner that he's pretending to be married to. And
romance. We don't need to take it to real person terms.
He's missing her. Jace comes in. Both Jace and Talina are comforting Kevin.
Oh, sorry. Kevin, I thought you were
okay. I was wondering. Yeah.
I totally misunderstood you because Gino had a moment talking about like first falling for Jace. So I just totally missed what you were saying. Yes, Kevin is missing his actual partner. Apologies.
They have like a little group hug. They're all crying a little bit. It's a moment. This ties into just the general sort of motion of where things are going with Kevin, Jace, and Gino, where he's going to continue to really just weasel his way right in.
I'm actually just going to slither through.
Just slither right into their bed, I guess, because they really feel like he cares about them and their showmance. And later in the night, they're going to be like, man, Kevin, he just really wants to see us in the final two, because that's what he's told them. And it's very effective. I'm starting to wonder if he might be getting to a point where he's got them so snowed that they might be bitter when if he's the one to turn on them. They're going to be like, how dare you? I thought you loved love. I thought you were a lover boy like me.
That is fair. However, there is, I guess that's harder on Big Brother when you have the jury house, but there is a type of snow where you just refuse to believe that it was Kevin that turned on you. Like, we've seen that before where like it takes them until after the game to be like, oh no. Like, I do feel like if you are enamored enough with somebody and their game and their friendship, you can do mental gymnastics to be like, oh no, they were convinced to do this or they had to do this.
Yeah, I think that definitely exists. The thing is that, like, I feel like the social position that Kevin is, because it's a different kind of, like, I feel like that usually happens when the person who is betrayed is sort of like the underling, so to speak, to the master, like, my master wouldn't betray me, versus, like, where Kevin is sort of like, in the like, hey, I'm the little brother, like looking up to you guys kind of thing.
Like the showman sees themselves as in control.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it certainly could go that way, but I feel like this could be something that Kevin has to deal with once they recognize that they have been tricked by him.
Yeah, very lovey-dovey day. What I was referring to was Gino telling this romantic story about how the first time he saw her, he was like, I hope she doesn't have a pretty smile. And then she took off her mask and she had a pretty smile. And we're in love.
And then it was over. Oh, man.
And then it was over and I flirted with Summer for a while. But then I knew it was over.
Yeah.
This is not my favorite showmance, if you can't tell. Summer, I like when both people in the showmance have a personality. Call me crazy.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Summer is going to talk with Josh, Helena, and Moose. They have a conversation about diversity and sort of like where Summer would want to raise children. She talks about like she would love to be able to raise her children in a place where they don't first have to learn to love their skin color. Meaning like they're faced with constant sort of discrimination based on their skin color and thus have to like learn to sort of like develop a resistance to that first. She'd rather them be able to like really just be able to grow in a nurturing and loving environment where that's not an issue. And then in the future, like once they're more prepared to deal with it, go and deal with it. She says her parents taught her to love her skin and her hair, but then like she went to school and people didn't love her skin or her hair. And she was like, my parents are liars. Like this isn't the real world. And they tried to like teach her about racism, but she didn't really believe it until she went out and experienced it. She's like, I thought this was like a thing that happened in the past, but it's happening to me right now. And Helena says like, that's interesting because she felt like she wasn't prepared for it. She was never taught about it growing up. And so when she experienced it, she didn't understand it. She just thought like, oh, I must just be bad or it must just be because of my this or my that. She didn't really recognize that it was just because of her skin color.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, I don't know a ton about, I haven't lived in Canada ever, but it seems like it's a different landscape there where like the rural areas are much more expansive than in the United States. So I feel like there's a lot more of a stark difference between like growing up in Toronto versus growing up, which Toronto is one of the most international cities in the world. So I feel like the cultural differences that we see on BB Can, especially because people have like different first languages and things like that, they're fascinating to watch just compared to the US, which obviously is a massive place with a lot of diversity, but it's different than Canada, where there's way fewer people and these massive geographical expanses between cities.
Mm-hmm. And there's just like, as they talk about, there's just still like so far to go before like these things aren't issues that they just like continue to have to deal with. Just again, like more like these are just like the kind of conversations that you get with a diverse cast and a diverse house. It was nice to see. Helena is going to talk to Jace and kind of is wondering like, what's your priority list here? And Jace says, well, the priority, you and Gino at the top, Helena, you two are tied. Cause you know, you're my girl. She's lying to her. Then Kevin. And Kevin after that. They both agree that Moose is going to be leaving and they can't trust Summer. She'll go anywhere in this game. Jace still keeping an eye on Summer. This is something that Helena talked to Kevin about, like, another kind of reason to keep Summer, that there's a rift between Summer and Betty. And there's also this weird thing with Jace and Summer. So, good to keep that in place.
Yeah. Knowing who people won't work with is just as important as knowing who they will.
Yeah. Helena talks with Kevin. They talk a bunch throughout the day. This is one of the days that I feel like they have a lot of time to talk throughout the day. One of the things they talked about was potentially not keeping Jace over Gino, which I thought was a weird conversation. They just felt like she was maybe like just like smarter than him, which. Yeah, actually, but at the same time, I don't think it's the right call just because, Gino has, fair or not, the perception of being a better player in the house, and probably more capable of winning competitions. He's just so good at the trivia, and obviously he's the most physical person in the game, but they talk through that option. They also talk about like being each other's number ones. Helena has this like funny moment. She's like, I just realized like you're my number one in this game. He's like, just realized? She's yeah. Like, no. I just meant like I don't really have anybody else. Like you're the only person I really like talk to like openly. He's like, is that like hard to like maintain the facade that you do in the house? She's like, not really. It's pretty much just me. I just turn it up to 10. Like my natural like self-esteem is very low, so it's very easy.
Sad.
Yeah. They talk about like how everyone else in the house is like, oh, this is gonna like, you know, be a good launching off point, but neither of them are really social media people. Kevin says his only preparation was listening to podcasts and just keeping up with the feeds. He was never really involved in the social media stuff. They're like,
I mean,
like,
that's a lot more preparation than being involved in the social media stuff, because I get my updates off of mostly off of Twitter. And I was prepared to talk for 45 minutes about Gino's banana hammock. So is that not what was happening on the feeds?
I think I may have already passed that point, unfortunately, but if
all
we
right,
want
well
to go back
then
to
I'm
it.
Out, because that's what my entire Twitter timeline was. For those of you who wish to go searching for the photos, and I would highly recommend you do. I think it was Josh and Gino played pool and made a bet, and whoever lost had to wear just a banana hammock for a certain amount of time, and to all of our, actually, I would have been fine with either outcome, but I was very happy that Gino lost.
There you go. Yeah, it's out there. if you want to find it. So
it's truly all out there.
It's really almost all. It's honestly, it would be difficult for you to not find it, really, is the more accurate way of phrasing that. Josh comes in and Kevin talks to Josh. They have a funny conversation where Kevin is going to continue to just be like, so what year does your PhD finish, Josh? And he's like, no, if I were to get a master's, I'd be done in 2026. And he's like, yeah, but you've already started, so your PhD finishes when? He's like, okay, so can you even get a PhD in marine biology? He's like, I'm not getting a PhD. I'm just getting a regular old marine biology degree. It's pretty funny. Kevin's also like, can you please start trying in competitions, Josh? Can you please start doing that? And he's like, I will. I promise.
Maybe if it's a identifying various types of porpoises competition.
Well, look, one of them is very shy and the other one is very outgoing. That's the biological way of describing it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you have a PhD in marine biology?
Yeah.
Taryn, if you did, when would you finish?
I have already finished. Yeah.
Oh my God. What's your favorite type of fish?
Clownfish.
Aw. Because they're floaters.
Exactly. Unlike all the other types of fish.
I don't know. I thought you were going to make a floater joke. I was ready.
Summer and Betty are going to talk. Summer makes the pitch to Betty. She says she'll put up Marty. She says she's actually targeting Marty, Gino, Jace, and Helena would be one of her targets as well. Betty is like, oh, really? She's like, yeah. It's like, you told Helena this? Like, no. but that's like her pitch to Betty, which is a fine pitch to Betty, but their relationship is still just like not all the way there. It never fully got repaired from, again, last week when Summer wavered on the Betty situation. And so when Moose pitches to Betty, he's going to be like, hey, I want to work with you and Josh. I want to ride with you. I want to like make this work. And as Kevin predicted, Betty's like, that was a good pitch. I like that pitch. And she goes to Kevin afterwards. She's like, first of all,
so I'm spilling the tea to Kevin.
Second, I'm kind of feeling like, should we keep Moose? And he's like, should we? I don't know. She's like, I don't
Kevin
know. Maybe
should just be like, what did I tell you?
Yeah. She's like, maybe it's the petty part of me, but I do kind of want to evict Summer. And I feel like Moose is going to be better to go after Marty and Gino. Like I'd rather have Moose on my side going after them than Summer, which is funny because that's exactly the same reasoning that Summer had to waver between Betty and Herman. But Kevin says, you're completely correct. I would rather have Moose on my side to target them. If I believed Moose, the problem is I don't know that I do. I don't know that I trust that he would actually do that. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. So Betty is definitely thinking like, oh, I could definitely move in this direction. But Kevin is shutting this down. It's not really going to come up again, on day 46, at least. But, it wouldn't surprise me if Betty still has this in her head. But again, without Kevin, it's going to be very difficult to find where this goes, because Moose needs at least three, probably four votes, three with the showmans, four without. And getting either the showmans or the four votes without Kevin just seems very, very difficult. So yeah. Again, I don't anticipate that this will go anywhere.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm a Moose fan, but as long as it's not Summer. I have the Sandra Diaz Twine perspective, but for Summer, as long as it ain't her for the rest of the season.
The saddest part about Moose, not only like leaving, but just the fact that like he hasn't had any wins lately, is that I haven't been able to play this soundbite because it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, baby.
Because there's nothing to yeah baby about.
And well, you can still use it for other people.
It's just not while Moose is still there, you know.
Isn't yeah, baby, wasn't that like somebody's catchphrase on Survivor? Mama C. Yes.
Was it?
Yeah, she hashtagged all of her tweets when she was like campaigning for 31. She hashtagged all her tweets, yeah, baby, I think. Maybe
really?
Season 30 thing. I don't know. Maybe Moose and Mama C did some preseason collaboration. Sorry to talk about Survivor so much. This day was kind of boring in the Big Brother house, so I have to go to the well that I know more about. Plus, it's a 2-hour episode tonight. I'm just excited.
It is a 2-hour episode. Hopefully, it's a good one. We'll see. I didn't love the last one that they did of this, but anyway, that's for later. That's for when you join me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, as I watch both the Big Brother and Survivor episodes live with all of you. We're then going to get a Summer and Helena also talk. Helena lets Summer know that she does have her vote. Helena asks if Summer is upset that she didn't use the veto. Summer's like, I'm upset that I'm on the block, but I'm fine.
I love that you didn't use the veto while I'm on the block.
It was actually such a great decision for both you and me, really, if you think about it.
I'm really happy.
Yes. So that's happening there again, like lots of little conversations happening, lots of like little bits of planning and stuff. But, things are not like super, like the vote seems to be pretty locked in. The general air is that most people will be targeting, Gino and Jace and Marty, heading into next week. But all the little details are still kind of up in the air to some degree here.
There was a lot of socializing because, they were in the hot tub for, I think, roughly 9 hours. They're all prunes for the entire day. And I think that they got some rare sunshine. So they're all like just vegging out in the sun. They're like sunning themselves like lizards after all of the gray days in Canada.
Yeah, Marty got sunburned.
It's really funny. It's like on his eyes. Like he looks like he's having like an allergic reaction to something.
Yeah, it's not great. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, like especially like in the US where it's like people who aren't used to like LA sun, really, I guess. I'm surprised that we don't see more of it.
The US does not cast people that don't go recreationally tanning.
I guess so. Yeah.
Just influencers know how to not get sunburned, and that's the pool that they draw from, whereas in Canada I don't think they're quite as used to that amount of sun.
All right, well, that's pretty much the day here, as we head toward day 47, which is today, Wednesday, on the feeds, and then tomorrow will be the final day. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It will be the final update before the eviction tomorrow night. And then we'll have a new week to talk about heading into next week. We still have to figure out how exactly they're getting down from 8 to, I assume, 4 in roughly 2 weeks. Is that worse than a triple eviction? I think it might be.
They're taking cues from Drag Race. This is a reference not for you, Taryn, but for the listeners. RuPaul's Drag Race is going into the finale with 5 people after having 3 non-elimination episodes.
Oh, boy. That's...
Yeah. It's...
Why?
Because this season is never going to end. It's never going to end. These drag queens are going to be on... They're going to be collecting Medicaid while they're looking for their lives.
I guess so. All right. Anything else you wanted to bring up from yesterday, Lita?
Let's see. Banana hammock. No, I think I got it.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you all for joining us. Of course, again, tune in tomorrow morning. Tune in tonight. Again, on Twitch, I'll be watching the episodes live with all of you. And then I'll be recording about both Big Brother and Survivor later tonight, and those podcasts will be dropped at some point tonight, so make sure you stay tuned for those. And then of course tomorrow I'll be streaming about the Stock Watch over on Twitch, streaming during the episode and then podcasting after it ends, so come check out the podcast tomorrow as well. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Check out the Taren Show with Gabby this week. It was very good. Lita, where can people find you?
Check out the Taren Show with Gabby. I love her. You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted. I'm private, but just request me. You can find me on Instagram at Lita Grammed. You can find me on, you can find my dog on Instagram at Saucy Cassie PGH. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.